Good morning. Is this not a beautiful day? Gorgeous Sunday after the weather we've had. It's so good to be together. If you're visiting with us, a very special welcome to you. And I encourage all of you to register your attendance on the pads provided for you. Did you notice anything new or different in the sanctuary today? It's pretty, isn't it? It's a lovely addition to our worship facility, and we're very grateful and thankful for it. Today we'll be, Mary's message will be talking to us about the baptism of Jesus. This was a significant point in his life as he began his ministry, a new beginning. This year is a new beginning for us, and yesterday we had the planning retreat as we looked at new beginnings and new things. And so we celebrate that and appreciate all who were a part of that yesterday. But today, as we hear about the baptism of Jesus and our baptism, it's a time for us to think about our commitment to Christ, our commitment to ministry, and our commitment to Asbury. There's some announcements I want to call your attention to. Sixth grade confirmation class. There'll be an orientation meeting today at 4 o'clock. There's information in your bulletin about that. Women's Bible study, Sacred Secrets. It's a new six-week session by Beth Moore. There's information about that. There's a weekday and an evening session on those as well. And also, there is information available in the Wilson Activity Center, in our information welcome center, about the Memorial Garden, Meditation Garden in Columbarium, and there's information in your bulletin as well about that. There's a lot of great things going on in the life of the church. There are a lot of things to be excited about, and one of those is greeting one another, and let's greet and welcome each other and our visitors as well. As we stand, will you join with me in the call to worship? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light do we see light.
Light dawns for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Affirmation of faith this morning is printed on the first page of your bulletin. Let us affirm our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Any children in the audience today? Oh, good. There's one. Hope I have more. Hey, great. Wow, this is terrific. And you can hear the patter of little feet on this new floor. Wow, everybody must have come today so they could see the new floor. Well, I'm so glad everyone is here. Come up here. Don't you look pretty with that bow? Wow, how many have we got? I don't think I've seen this many in a long time. This is wonderful. Do you all know what this is that I have in my hand? No. See the pictures? This is a what?
Photo album.
Very Very good. A photo album. You don't see them much anymore because what do we use now? iPhones and what? Computers. A picture of our children. That's what I have in here. Our children and our grandchildren. And you know why I have pictures of them? Because I'm proud of them. And I want to remember what they look like when they are all grown up. And I bet your parents take pictures of you, too, don't they? But now probably on iPhones, right? Well, when Jesus was growing up, do you think that they had cameras? Right. So what did they have? They didn't have cameras. They didn't have cameras or iPhones. But they told stories about Jesus. And one of the stories was about when he was baptized. And when he was baptized, a dove came down from up in heaven, and a voice came from heaven, and it said, "You are my son, in whom I am well pleased and loved." Whose voice was that?
God.
Very good. Hey, these kids are learning. Okay. God was pleased because Jesus was wise. He was nice to people. He loved people. And he was proud of his son. Also, he was proud because Jesus did what he asked him to do. Do you all do what your parents ask you to? Raise your hands if you do what your parents ask you to all the time. Oh, wow. We got 100% here. Asbury is doing well. Okay. Close your eyes and let's pray together. Dear Lord God, help us to be more like Jesus, so that we can be the kind of people to make you proud. Amen. Thank you. Have a piece of candy. You all did great.
Good morning. My name is Leah Gillet, and I will be serving on OMP college staff this summer. Ozark Mission Project is a week-long service opportunity for youth all across Arkansas to work at camps or surrounding neighborhoods and help the community with different kinds of projects and such. OMP has strengthened my reliance on God and made me willing to help others to have that experience. So as college staff, I am required to raise $850 to help with the donation with buying supplies for all of the different things that we'll do this summer. And it would mean a lot to me if you guys would make a donation. And if you would like to make a donation, you can just make the check out to Asbury United Methodist Church and put my name and OMP in the memo line. Thank you so much.
Oh,
go to God in prayer, I call your attention to prayer concerns printed in the bulletin this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God, always loving and forgiving and always compassionate and affirming, we bring our prayers to you and we know that you always listen. You listen with great care. And in your way and in your time, you respond to us. And so we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you, too, for this day, for this time of worship. We're grateful for yesterday in the planning retreat. Your Spirit was with us. And there's an excitement about the opportunities before us in this new year. Dear God, the Father of Christ, who embraced his mission in the waters of baptism, inspire us with the fire of your Spirit to join in Christ's transforming work. Transform our fears and reservations to prayers of thanksgiving and resolution. Inspire us, O God, to live in community, embracing and caring for each other, so that through humility we may see your kingdom. We ask that you strengthen us in ministry as we reach out to those in need who need to know you. Be with us, inspire us, encourage us as we begin new ministries this year. And we pray for those who suffer from pains and sorrows. We pray for those who this day, whose hearts are broken, whose families are fractured. For those whose lives are ravaged by war, those who struggle with poverty and starvation. We pray, too, for our brothers and sisters around the world who are being martyred and tortured for their beliefs. Someday, dear God, your love and your peace will reign. May all who are in need find in you the answers that they need and the strength for the journey. And this morning, as we reflect on the baptism story, as we think on what Jesus means to each one of us, let's make it our prayer that we can recommit ourselves afresh to Jesus Christ, our Savior. And may we too hear you say to us, "This is my beloved child with whom I'm pleased." We pray this in the name that is above all others, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Many of you have been asking how you can assist Bob Thompson and Marilyn after Bob's tragic accident. Ron Paulson and Larry Grace have established a helping hand fund at Iberia Bank on Rodney Parham. If you would like to contribute to this fund, simply make out a check to Robert G. Thompson, either mail it to Iberia Bank or drop it by any one of the bank's locations. And I know that Bob and Marilyn appreciate your prayers, your love, and your support. Let us pray. Loving God, as we give you our gifts, help us see the faces of those who will look to us for a touch of compassion and love, our words of kindness, our arms of comfort, and our gifts. Bless the gift, the giver, and those who receive them. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Nation. The hymn text can be found on 252, When Jesus Came to Jordan. We'll be singing this to a little more familiar hymn tune of Stand Up for Jesus.
Share with you the Gospel of Mark as we go to the first chapter, verses 9 through 11. May the people of God be inspired and comforted as they hear from this word of God as recorded in the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verses 9 through 11. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. When he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We have come here today to worship our God and to remember the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For many of us who were cradle-born Methodists, we really don't remember the act of baptism, except through pictures and scrapbooks, or perhaps personal stories shared through the years. Perhaps we were told by our parents who were there at our baptism, who was standing there witnessing. We were perhaps shown the birth certificate. Maybe we still have it, where it has the signature of the officiating minister. Perhaps we were even told about who came to the house after that sacrament and shared in a family meal and some of the stories that were swapped then. When our own daughters, Katie and Kara, were baptized, we lived in El Dorado, Arkansas. And I was ordained to be able to offer the sacraments to our daughters, but I opted to play mom instead that day, holding tight onto the girls, and finally at that point of baptism, releasing them to their grandfather. I felt like I could surely trust him to hold them and not drop them. Tony's father, the late Reverend Alan Hilliard, it was very special that he could baptize our daughters, as well as the resident pastor there at the time of that church. And I'll never forget, there was actually, I don't know who took it, but somebody took a picture of at Katie's baptism of her holding me following the baptism. And she was sitting in my lap, and her back is so erect, and she's looking straight at the handbell choir as they were playing the bells. Wonderful mementos to have. Later on, about 10 or 11 years, when after years of hearing the stories of Jesus through Sunday school, vacation Bible school, being raised in a Christian home, being taught all of the things that Christians do to celebrate their faith. They were ready to acknowledge to all that they were sinners and in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ, and to make their profession of faith, which they did following their confirmation classes and on that confirmation day. I did opt to be the officiating minister for their professions of faith. And as I offered the bowl of water to them, which I will do so to you all at the end of the service today, the ones who had not been baptized, we baptized them. For those who had been baptized, such as my girls, we offered the bowl of water for them to remember or renew their baptism. And I said, just touch the water in any way that you would like to and just remember your baptism. And this is the story that I tell each confirmand class each year because they wonder what they're supposed to do if they've already been baptized. And I said, well, I'll share with you what my girls did. When I offered the bowl of water to Katie at her confirmation, it was very interesting. She took her hand and she made a cup and she just scooped up the water and she let it trickle between her fingers as if she was trying to remember the sensation of the sprinkling upon her head at her baptism. A couple of years later, when Kara was being confirmed, she touched the water and touched her head, her shoulder, and her heart as if she was trying to recommit that Christ would be always in her mind, her soul, and her strength. Baptism is important. And for centuries, people have argued about the merits of infant versus adult baptism. I like very much what Frederick Buechner, in his book, Beyond Words, says about baptism. He said, I was once asked this question, is infant baptism really baptism? Shouldn't you wait until the child grows up enough to know what's going on? I answered, baptism symbolizes the end of everything about life that is less than human. If you don't think there is as much of the less than human in an infant as there is in anybody else, then you've lost touch with reality. When it comes to the forgiving and transforming love of God, one wonders if the six-week-old screecher knows all that much less than the Archbishop of Canterbury about what's going on. And I think that's what it is. It's acknowledging this mysterious, wondrous, incomprehensible love, mercy, and grace that God alone can give. In my walk of faith, in my seminary experience, in just my everyday encounter with who God is, this wondrous God, I've come to understand that there's no point at all in arguing baptism any more than it is any other issue of theology. I'm just not going to debate theology with anyone. It's important to understand that one's convictions and interpretations are entirely personal. It's important to study the Word of God, and I certainly hope each and every one of us does. And it's important to take classes to help your understanding if you need to do that, if you want to do that, or to pick up a commentary that may offer a different perspective. Do that if you care to. But the bottom line is this: your walk of faith and your knowledge and interpretation of God's word is clearly personal. Yes, we're to witness and share. But probably most of us have been recipients, and I hope not guilty, of being deliverers of a message of God that may do more harm than good. This points toward our understanding of baptism. Baptism is acknowledging God's love for you. and emerging from that love over a period of time, after having been nurtured in the Word, raised in the Christian faith, comes that eventual profession of faith. Profession of faith acknowledging your need of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior for the forgiveness and repentance of your sins. So baptism, as I understand it, is that most important step towards that eventual profession. The eventual profession of faith may happen immediately, or it may happen, as I said, as you grow in your understanding of your need to profess that you are indeed a sinner and are thanking God that He has given you a deliverance of that sin through His Son, Jesus Christ. Put very simply, and I underscore very simply, baptism is acknowledging God saying, "I created you, and I love you. No bars hold. I love you." Our profession of faith is again following that growth and saying, "Yes, you did make me unique, sins and all. And I thank you for loving me. And I'm forever grateful, eternally grateful, that you gave me a way to be forgiven of my sins through your Son, Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can be at one together forever." So you may ask then concerning Jesus' baptism, why was Jesus baptized when he didn't need to repent of sin? In 1 John 3:5, the scripture states, "You know he," speaking of Jesus, "appeared to us to take away sins, and in him there is no sin." Jesus, of course, was in fact sinless. So that's why John had such an issue of feeling so unqualified to baptize Christ. Hear John's words as recorded in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, 11-14. "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." But Jesus insisted, as we read later in the 15th verse, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Again, why was Jesus needing to be baptized when he was without sin? I believe Jesus was signifying to the world that to begin your journey with God in all righteousness, you must first acknowledge and receive God's gift of grace and love, no matter who you are. The water does not save you. Hear what Ephesians 2, the 8th and 9th verses say. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing." Baptism could very well have been Jesus' witness accepting the role of his mission as Savior and acknowledging the suffering and triumphant resurrection that would come with that role as Savior of mankind. There's another thought too. Jesus was never a separatist. He never excluded himself from anyone. He was the most inclusive human being I've ever known. He was not afraid to be with lepers, even though they were considered outcast and their disease was contagious. He was not afraid of being in the room with women, allowing them to hear him speak and teach. And yet that was totally against all cultural norms of that day. He was not afraid of being with sinners of all kinds, greedy tax collectors, perhaps, harlots. He wasn't afraid to be seen with the zealots. And everybody knew how dangerous radical religious folk could be. No, Jesus came to save all. And he wasn't afraid to be with anyone, nor is he today. So in being baptized, did it allow him to identify with the sinful people he came to save? Most likely. Jesus himself tells us why he did it in Matthew 3:15. It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. Clearly, baptism just by water does not save you. It is by grace we are saved, as the passage in Ephesians reminds us. But it is clearly that first step to the baptism John was speaking, the baptism by fire or by the Holy Spirit. Have we had that kind of baptism? Have you experienced the Holy Spirit? Which convicts our hearts to be made whole and clean through the saving grace of our Savior. I think baptism also clearly states to the world, we're ready to start this journey with God as soon as possible. And stay on that road until it carries us to the eternal kingdom that in professing Jesus Christ as Lord begins as soon as that word is spoken. I am a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ, my Lord and yours. And with that profession, I have stepped into eternity. Eternity is not something that begins when we die and we embrace resurrection. For Jesus said, the kingdom of God is now. I want to close in this story I read in a United Methodist Clergy magazine. There's a baptistry in Koanjera, Kenya. But it is no ordinary baptistry. It has special significance to a pastor named David Katanga and the believers of Huduma Church. After enjoying a very successful ministry in the Methodist Church, David Katanga was called to go into the slums of Koanjera, and he ministered to the poorest of poor there today. But one such person that he ministered to was a Muslim woman who eventually became a follower of Jesus Christ. And this poor Muslim woman told Pastor David about her son that was very, very sick. Indeed, he had just slipped into a coma. So this Huduma church went individual by individual daily to pray for her son. This new community of faith that she had. Led by David, these passionate Christians would come and pray and anoint him with oil and cry out to God for some divine healing. By God's grace, he came out of that coma and immediately wanted to start meeting with the Yesu people, the Jesus people. Pastor David thought this was very odd. After all, he was a Muslim. He had never experienced such a strange request. Well, it turns out that the young man, you see, within that coma, had heard the prayers of the Yesu people. And he had heard the gospel read as they would come to his bedside, the gospel read by the people of the Huduma Methodist Church. And every time someone from Huduma shared the gospel, he retained that. And in a lifeless coma, The man was transformed by the word of God. He told David that none of his Muslim brothers had come to see him. None of them had prayed for him, cared for him. And so not only did he want to follow this Yesu, this Jesus, he wanted to profess his faith and be baptized. Long story short, this former Muslim, with his own hands and what little money he had, created this marvelous baptistry that was dedicated at this church. And he was later baptized there. Bawana Asafiwe, praise the Lord. His commitment to Jesus was met with great disdain, as you can imagine, from the Muslims. And the Hudama church people protected him, taking him from house to house, hiding him. The Muslims caught up with him and took his life. Very sad ending to a beautiful story, but isn't that like Christ? Stepping out in righteousness, following the word of God, being bold in the faith, even if it meant death, because it was going to mean life in Christ. Resurrection power. And that death was not in vain, because that baptistry stands as a monument. 12 stones of the miracle of salvation and commitment to Jesus. Bwana Asifiwe. Praise the Lord. As I offer you in just a few moments the water, feel free to come forward and touch the water and remember or renew your baptism. If there are any here today that have not been baptized, and you feel that baptism by the Holy Spirit touching you to come forward and to be baptized, please don't hesitate to come forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is I Surrender All, number 354 in the hymnal. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. Let us be standing. God's goodness, we remember our baptism, and we are thankful. As I see the tears, some of which are my own, we have experienced God's grace here today. We have experienced God's love and God's word. May we go forward now in the peace of Christ and extend what you're feeling now to all you meet this day and forevermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.